we take for granted. Think that you just come and it's just one of those things that just happens. But it's not. Like you hear at 9 o'clock in the morning while you're still cussing at your wife and your kids and they're practicing. I appreciate the choir. Thank you very much for the good singing. And we were in Kentucky and we left Kentucky and went to, well, we were in Kentucky and they were, everybody at the church, all they talked about is how good Dalton could sing. He was an angel. He was just sent from God and everything else. And of course, you and I know that's not the truth. But anyhow, got to Tennessee and apparently some other churches had come over during the week and man, all they did was brag on Dalton about the singing and everything else. And I told him, I said, man, you ought to hear the rest of our choir. And I'm very proud of my youngin', and man, he does a great job singing, but our choir knocks it out the park every time, and I do appreciate that. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter number 6, if you will. Mark chapter number 6, and I want to say thank you to everybody that does anything around here, and from nursery to children's church, and how many of y'all are thankful for nursery? How many of you thankful for children's church? Even if you don't have a kid. Matter of fact, I'm going to just say this right now. The people that are most thankful for children's church are the parents. But all of us should be very thankful for children's church, all right? Anyhow, if you don't know that, you need to sit in 6 hours of services with kids, all right? And, man, I felt so bad for some of them couples, them young couples. They didn't have no nursery or nothing. I was like, man, just let them go play in the creek and stuff like that. Just, you know, but anyhow. All right, Mark chapter number 6. If you're there, I want you to say amen. All right, I'm going to do a good bit of Bible reading. Are y'all okay with that? All right, we got to get somewhere, okay? And we're going to be in the, we're going to start off in the very front of this chapter, but we're getting to a place at the very end of the chapter, all right? And but we want to lay some groundwork, and so we need to do that first. And so Bible says in the very first verse, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. All right. I want you to notice that his disciples are with him wherever he goes. All right. At this point. All right. Verse number six, he says, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. All right, I'm laying some groundwork here. Jesus comes into his own country, and he begins to minister, and he begins to teach. The people rejecting. The disciples are with him. Is everybody with me right now? All right, could you imagine you have forsaken all? And now you're following after this leader, this man, all right? We hadn't even got to the places where they've declared him to be God yet. They're following him as a rabbi. He asked them to follow after him, and they're doing so. They go into the village that he comes from, the place where he was born and raised. And he begins to teach and to preach, and they reject him to the point that he leaves. All right. How discouraging would it be for a disciple to get on board with this, to forsake all and to leave all, and then go out there and he gets rejected? You start questioning, right? Well, did I make a mistake? Devil, I need somebody help me right here. Devil will use all kind of stuff against us. So before we start talking about how strong our faith is, let's just be reminded that the devil likes to mess with our heads. I couldn't even imagine. There they are following Jesus, and now he's being rejected. Thereby they're being rejected. They're starting in ministry, and they're being rejected. And the Bible goes on in verse number 7, and it says, and he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. They wasn't to take anything with them. All right? The Bible says, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. I mean, these were very specific orders that Jesus was giving to them. And he said in verse number 10, and he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And that just got, that escalated quickly. Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire. And now Jesus is saying that when somebody rejects one of his messengers, that it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for the city that rejects Jesus. I'm not preaching on this, but we're moving forward. Does everybody understand? He's sending them out now to preach. They've already experienced the rejection, not their rejection, but the rejection of Jesus Christ himself. And so, verse number 12, the Bible says, and when they went out and preached that men should repent. And so they go on this journey. They've been with Jesus. They've been traveling to every village with him. They've seen people reject him. And now he sends them out and tells them with instructions that, well, hey, when somebody rejects you, just shake the dust off from under your feet and keep moving forward. That's some pretty good advice. I need somebody to help me. That's some pretty good advice. All right, now, from verse number 13, the Bible says, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So they went on the ministry. Now, starting in verse number 14, all the way through verse number 29, we have a parenthetical story that happens in the middle of this. In the middle of this, they're out and they're going about and they're preaching in different villages. They're going about and they're teaching about Jesus. And during this time, John the Baptist has been taken as a prisoner. John the Baptist was taken as a prisoner because of Herodias, wife of King Philip, because John had said that Philip had took her unlawfully because she was his brother's wife. And so plot thickens, amen. It's crazy stuff going on in the Bible. Anyhow, Herodias' daughter comes in and dances for King Herod. And he approves of it. He liked it a lot. So he told her, he said, I'll give you anything you want. So she ran back to her mom and her mama said, she said, he told me he'd give me anything I wanted. What do I want? Sounds like a girl. Somebody help me. I need somebody to help me. Sound just like a woman. I ain't have anything that I want. What do I want? You don't believe that? Ask your wife when you get out of church today where you want to eat. You understand how undecisive they can be, right? And so anyhow, Herodias says, all right. y'all know I'm telling it right. All right. Herodias says, all right, give me John the Baptist's head in a charger. And so Herod didn't want to do it, but because he had made the vow, made the promise, he sent immediately and they beheaded John. Man, that's all we got. They just went in there, cut his head off and brought it on the charger out there to the girl. She took a head. Everybody hear the story? She took this man's head to her mama. I got it. Y'all hearing this? There's some messed up people in the Bible. Y'all hear me? What you want? I'll take somebody's head. Just cut it off. You want it seasoned? I mean, how do you want that? I'll just take it raw. Just cut the thing off. Whatever drains out, drains out. I can't imagine. Anyhow, she takes it to her mama. All right. The Bible says in verse number 29, and when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Now in verse number 30. Now, is everybody with me? They've seen Jesus rejected. They've been going village to village. Now Jesus sends them out two by two. They go village to village. Now in the middle of all this, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, has his head chopped off. Many of these men followed John the Baptist.
If you go back when Jesus called them from as a disciple, many of them were following John the Baptist at the time. And so, can you imagine the fear that these men had, knowing that one that they followed before has now had his head cut off? The one that they're following now has been rejected, and now he's sending them out with a side note of when you are rejected. Not if you are. When you are rejected. Is everybody with me? It don't sound like a very good, it don't sound like a growing work. Right? All right? The Bible says Jesus recognizes this now, and he says this to them in verse number 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. That sounds like just what the doctor ordered. Right? Hey, come off to a desert place, a place that's isolated, a place where we won't have to deal with ministry, and get you some rest. Because the Bible says there were many that were coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. I mean, they were in ministry, and they were so much in ministry that according to the Bible, they didn't even have time to eat. People were coming and coming and coming, and they were trying to minister and do, and Jesus recognizes this, and he says, look here, let's get this. We're going to go in a desert place, and we are going to rest a while. Hallelujah. I need somebody to help me. Praise the Lord. Don't that sound good? Hey, they going on a cruise. They going on a cruise. I mean, it sounds great. The Bible says in verse number 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. They wasn't on no big ocean liner. They were on a private yacht. Everybody all right? Some of y'all are going to have a hard time with that if you don't laugh, all right? They weren't on no yacht, all right? I was just kidding. But the Bible does tell us they went off on a ship. All right. Now that brings us to our next story. The Bible says that they get across, and when they, verse number 34, and Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, was moved with compassion. People found out that they were going across this, to the other side. And so according to the Bible, they ran afoot thither out of all the cities and got around to the other side. So when they got to this place of rest, there was a big old crowd sitting there waiting on them to get off the boat. We're glad y'all finally got here. We got some problems. And we need y'all to come deal with them. Right? So they get off the boat, and you would think, I'm pretty sure that the disciples were probably in the back of their mind saying, he said we were going to rest. He's probably going to tell them all go home. Y'all help me. I mean, wouldn't that be our thought? Now, God, you said we was going on vacation. You said we were going to get to rest, and here we are. We get over here, and all these people are here. There ain't going to be no rest if we do any ministering right here. So you might need to go ahead and just send them off. They didn't say that, but that's what they were probably thinking. But the Bible says that he had compassion toward them. They'd done been around him long enough. Probably one of them said, all right, boys, get ready. Get your sandals cleaned up. It's time to go to work. The Bible says that he moved. He was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. They probably thought, well, you know what? It ain't too bad. Jesus get through preaching. I mean, I'm sure he's only going to preach for 30 minutes. Right? I'm sure he's only going to preach 30 minutes there in a desert place. It's hot. No air conditioning. They're sitting in the dirt. I mean, they got to be comfortable, Brother Scott. They got to be uncomfortable sitting in the dirt and it being hot out there. Surely he ain't going to preach for, I mean, it'd probably just be a little sermonette, maybe 15 minutes, right? Is everybody all right? I mean, Jesus, surely he wouldn't just take it on into the night, would he? Well, let's go read the next verse. Next verse said, And verse number 35, and when the day was now far spent. Y'all want to talk about a long-winded preacher. Is everybody all right? I'm talking about they didn't eat. Y'all got to help me now. They didn't eat. They didn't have air conditioning. According to the Bible, they ran to where he was. According to the Bible, they took off and ran all the way around the sea to get in front of him. No air conditioner, no padded pew, no padded chair. They show up on the other side thinking they're going to an oasis and a spa. And thousands of people are waiting on them. And Jesus says, I'll just break out in a sermon right here. 3 points and we'll be done. And now the day was far spent. His disciples came to him and they had had enough. Hey, we appreciate the good preaching, Jesus. But this is a desert place. There ain't nothing here. Ain't no chair to sit on. Ain't no air conditioner out here. We ain't ate nothing. Time is far past. Everybody, let's keep reading. Time is far past. Send them away. Jesus, just in case you don't know what you're doing, we do. Send them away. Is everybody all, y'all better help me this morning, all right? I know y'all about dead this morning. I could tell during the singing y'all about had enough, and this sermon is for you this morning. Because you just like the disciples. Send us away, Lord, please. Don't make us sit through this man's far-spent sermon. Send them away. That's what they said. Is everybody all right? This is the Son of God. This is God himself. And the disciples are like, you don't know what you're doing right here, but this is what needs to be done. Does that not sound like madness? I need somebody to help. Look here, you don't know what you're doing, God, so let me tell you what you need to do right here, all right? Send them away. That they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Let's cloak this in, it's in their betterment. Let's cloak this request of sending them away by saying it would be better for them if they went and found some food somewhere. This is for their help. I need somebody. One person's all I need to help me preach this morning, all right? Hey, just send them away. That was what they really wanted. That was what they were really after. That was what their heart really was. They were war slap out. And they wanted to be alone. They were war slap out and they were interested in rest rather than ministry. And here they are showing us how upset we can get when we're hangry. Right? The Bible says, and he answered them and said, give to them to eat. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And let me, is everybody look up in here? Jesus said, give them to eat. That's what they did. It's not in the Bible, but that's exactly how they reacted. Peter, you know, he was a spokesperson. Simon Peter said, yeah, where's that money coming from? Judas said, I ain't got no money. I can go ahead and tell y'all this. I've been taking money from that bag ever since we got here. We in a Baptist church now, amen? Judas said, hey, don't look at me. We ain't got no money. I got some money, but we ain't got no money. Old Simon Peter was like, dude, really? We have nothing. What you want us to do? Go buy 200 penny worth of bread and get them to eat? Are you looking at this crowd? By the way, we don't know this yet because we ain't got this far in reading, but there was 5,000 men in this crowd. That's not counting the women and the children. So I'm thinking 200 penny worth. I'm not a scholar on how much money that is, but I'm thinking that ain't near enough bread for what's standing out there. Is everybody all right? Hey, what do you want us to do? Just pull it out of our pocket? Everybody all right? And he saith unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. They 15, 20,000 people out here, and you want us to go find out how many loaves they got out there in the crowd? Is everybody with me? They 12 men walking around. Hey, y'all got any bread?
Come on.
We finna feed everybody up in there. Y'all got some bread? Who's got some bread? Y'all got some bread? Anybody got some bread? Hey, y'all got some bread? Hey, y'all holler back there to your friend. Y'all got some bread? 15. Is everybody all right? They ain't 200 people in this auditorium this morning. They was 15,000 to 20,000 people, and they walking around in a desert place talking about you got some bread. I'm going to tell y'all something. They would have come rolling up on me and be like, yeah, and you ain't getting it. I didn't get this figure from not taking my lunch to work. Somebody say amen. You ain't getting my fish and my loaves. I'll give you a loaf, Jesus. That's all I'm going to do. Don't lie. Some of y'all would, hey, it would have been more of a miracle if you was there. If you'd be like, Jesus, I'll give you half a roll, but that's it. What's a tithe on a rose? Hey, you ain't getting no fish, but I'll give you a half a roll. A half a roll is a one-tenth of what I have, all right? A tenth of the bread I have, anyhow. All he asked for was bread, anyhow. Is everybody with me? So they come back and they say, look, we got five loaves and two fishes. And verse number, let's see, verse number 41. And when he had, I'm sorry. I got to get back up there in verse number 39. Is everybody with me? And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the grass. And we know that in Matthew, the Bible tells us that they sat down in companies of 50 and 100. So they went around again, the disciples, ready to go home. Send them away. They go around to 15,000, 20,000 like, hey, gather in groups of 50 over here, please. Could y'all gather, y'all 50 to 100 right here? 50 to, is everybody all right? 12 guys are doing this. 12 guys that want them to go away. Send them away, right? So they're sitting. Does everybody notice that they're sitting in green grass? In the desert. Ain't that funny? We'll get to that in a minute. The Bible goes on. It says, and this is in verse number 40. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Verse number 41. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. We ain't there yet. We're just getting there. But Jesus breaks the bread, breaks the fish, hands it to the 12 disciples that's already gone out and said, everybody sit in 50s and 100s. Everybody, the same disciples that went out through all the crowd and said, anybody got some bread? Now Jesus hands it to them and says, go feed them. I'm going to need some help. There is more waitresses at Farmhouse this morning than what they had out there in the desert feeding 15 to 20,000 people. And so here goes the 12 disciples. They're going around and they're feeding and they're doing all this. I'm sure they were happy. My fish aren't cooked. You shut up and eat it. I need some help. Hey, I like my bread toasted. I'd punch you in the mouth. You hear me? Do I look? Am I working for a tip right here? I'll knock you out. Say one thing about that glass of tea, and I will pour it all over your head.
Amen.
I can only imagine. By the time they got back to the back of the crowd, you better not even grunt. Bible says that he broke that bread and them fishes and he fed them till they were filled. Now, I don't know. I'm just going by what I've seen around here. That took a whole lot of breaking. That took a whole lot of bread, a whole lot of fishes. And I'm thinking a whole lot of trips back and to. They got done with it. Is everybody with me? Everything, they were all filled. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then verse 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes. And they did eat the loaves. And they did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. So they get done. Praise God, we fed everybody, Jesus. We got everybody fed. Everybody's fed and they're all full, Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right. God said, now go pick up all the fragments that's left over. You gonna put them in the refrigerator? I mean, what? We're saving leftovers? Serious? This is what you want us to do? Why don't you just make us some food? Cook ours. If you don't mind, just cook ours. Let's get on the boat and leave. And then they can take some food home for themselves. No, I want you to go around to 15, 20,000 and pick up the bread. Pick up what's left over. I bet that was a great time. You got something? Put it in here. Can y'all see? I'm trying to get you to understand that these men were to the point of exhaustion. And they were continually being asked to do something. Continually. Continually being asked to do something. The Bible says after this, this is where we're getting to. Is everybody all right? I won't preach long, maybe. Verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. I just a little bit of study on this. That word constrained means that he basically required them to get in. He required them to get into the boat. And he says, go over to the other side before into Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing. This thing don't ever end. He just told us to get on the boat, and now we're out here in the middle, a storm or a wind that's contrary to us has come up, and if we hadn't worked enough, now they're toiling in rowing. The Bible says the wind was contrary to them. I want you to get this picture. They're rowing as hard as they can, and they ain't going nowhere. They're working as hard as they can, and they're not even moving. The Bible says that Jesus sees them from land. Says he's seen them, toiling and rowing. For the wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. I don't know how long it was, Brother Scott, from the first time he seen him to when he got out there to him, but he made him work a little. Is everybody all right? The Bible says that he came in that fourth watch of the night walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. You reckon? And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Wow. This guy's awesome. What give it away? Right? Listen, verse 52, this is where we're going to camp out this morning. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. For their heart was hardened. Now, we've come a long way. Somebody say amen. But the fact of the matter is that no, we don't work in nowhere near the conditions that these men worked in. We don't work in nowhere near the extent that these men have worked at. But can I say this? There's a lot of Christians. There's a lot of people in this world that suffer from a hard heart. There's a lot of things that go on in life that add up and multiply in our life that leads us to hardened hearts. There's a lot of things that you and I go through, a lot of things that we see. How many of you can be honest right here and say, preacher, I felt like I've been toiling and rowing and not getting anywhere for a long time. Maybe it's in your spiritual walk. Maybe it's at your job. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's with your children. But we can all testify that we have worked very diligently to make it work, to try everything in our power to make it work and to make it work out the correct way where everybody was happy, even if it meant that we sacrificed some things. We have toiled. We have worked hard when nobody else was working hard. We have given bread when nobody else was doing anything but sitting in grass. We have gone and taken up and cleaned up after everybody else because they were just going to go home and take a nap. Is everybody all right? I could go on and on at the similarities between ministry now and ministry then. Now, we know we're not in the extreme conditions that they were in. Thank God for an air conditioner. I need somebody. Amen. I love an air conditioner. I'm going to say that again because I need way more amens than that. I love an air conditioner. I preached the other night at there that camp meeting. They wasn't no air conditioner. They had them spotlights on me. Y'all, I'm going to tell y'all what. I was soaked. And when I tell you soaked, I was soaked. I mean everything was soaked. I thank God for 68 degrees inside of a building.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I thank God. I come in here this morning before any of y'all got here and just laid across the chairs and loved on them. Because I appreciated them that much. We don't deal with nothing the conditions that they did. I didn't have to run around in front of Jesus. I just got in my truck this morning. Cranked it up. Is everybody all right? Put that defrost on. Man, that was hard work getting them windows defrosted. I hit that thing. It was gone. Then it got a little hot in there, Miss Gill, so I had to hit the AC. It was cool. Then I was thinking, man, you know what? I got a little hot while I was getting ready and everything else. Sure would be nice. I hit that little button and my air conditioned seats would start blowing on. Yeah, hallelujah. Everybody all right? Don't forget, hey, I have my coffee with me. Amen. Is everybody all right? We don't live in the same conditions, but can I say this? We all work. We all give it all we got, whether it's a family. I'm talking about in anything, not just in ministry. We're all working. Your job, your home, your church, ministries around the church. We're all working. And if we're not careful, we'll end up with a hardened heart. If they're susceptible to it, walking with Jesus every day, if they're susceptible to it, having seen the miracles and having Him right next to them, then trust me, you and I, when every distraction in the world is keeping us from Him. Right? So I want you to look at it just for a few moments. I got 5-10 minutes, all right? And I ain't no way I'm going to get done, but we're going to do it. The ingredients of a hardened heart. I notice the ingredients of a hardened heart. What does it take for a heart to be hardened? I notice this first off, exhaustion. When we get exhausted, and how many of y'all has ever been exhausted? Come on, y'all, help me out now. How many has ever been exhausted? At some point in your life, you've been exhausted. How many of you know you don't make really good decisions when you're exhausted? Right? Matter of fact, they say in football games and in life in general, when the tireder you get, the more mistakes you make. And so exhaustion leads to a hardened heart. Just simple stuff. Anxiety. They'd heard about John being killed. His head being cut off, wouldn't that cause a little bit of a concern?
Amen.
When John said, hey, y'all follow this guy, And so we leave everything and follow this guy, and then John gets his head cut off for saying, hey, follow that guy. Some issues here. Anxiety. And how many of us has faced anxiety? Come on, y'all got to help me now. Everybody's got to help me. How many of us has faced anxiety? Maybe you go into a job site and they say, hey, we're going to shut down the job, or we're looking at layoffs. How many of you have ever heard that before? We're looking at layoffs. Then for the next 3 weeks, you walk around wondering if you're one of the ones that's going to get laid off. You ain't never been there. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of anxiety, especially when you got three kids at the house expecting you to pay all the bills. Your income's what feeds everybody. And the company walks in and says, hey, people off. The economy's turned. There's nothing we can do. Some anxiety. How about somebody comes in, a wife comes in, a husband comes in, and they say, hey, I don't know if I want to be in this relationship anymore. Some anxiety. When you're the one trying to make it work, they're the one wanting to leave. Some anxiety. Is everybody okay? Exhaustion will lead us to a hardened heart. Anxiety leads us to a hardened heart. How about a crushed expectation? You thought something was going to happen and it didn't. These guys thought they were going on a vacation. They thought they were fixing to find some rest, only to get over there and have to feed 20,000 people, have to go around and ask who's got some bread, have to go around feed 20,000 people, have to go around pick up all the food, then get in the boat because Jesus told you to get in the boat and you can't go anywhere because the wind's against you and you're rowing as hard as you can. How many of us say, well, I'm just going to throw my sucker in the dirt and I'm going home? This ain't what I expected. This ain't what I wanted. This ain't what you told me it was going to be like. Crushed expectations. How about damaged perspective? A damaged perspective. They got to looking at this thing and they were thinking to themselves, hey, I was getting into this thing and now we're being persecuted. How about a damaged perspective of, hey, there's 20,000 people here and ain't but 12 of us is passing out food. Boy, if I've heard that one time around here. Hey, preacher, we'll take care of all of it. You just let us handle it. Then the day of it, preacher, we're the only ones doing anything. Time out. You said you were going to take care of it. Damaged perspective. Them contrary winds, that was a damaged perspective for me. Because there's been times in my life that I thought everything in this world was against me.
Right.
Yeah. You want to talk about a damaged perspective. Right. When you think that you're serving the Lord, and it seems like everything in the world is against you, it leads to a hard heart. How many of y'all, any of y'all, has suffered any of those ingredients? Let me ask this. How many of you has ever experienced a hardened heart? I got both hands up. I notice the ingredients of a hard heart. I notice the indicators of a hard heart. There's some indicators, Brother Kenny. See, when we have a hard heart, and you may have one this morning, but when you have a hard heart, there's some pessimism in everything that you do. It's a desert place. Have them sit in the grass. Twenty thousand people sat in grass in a desert. I think it wasn't too bad. Is everybody with me? 20,000 people sat down in the grass in a desert. We start getting pessimistic when we got a hardened heart. Nothing's good enough. Somebody got to help me this morning. We find the bad in everything that's going on. We come to church and we can't worship and enjoy the choir because somebody sat in my seat. Somebody, I can't believe somebody come up in here and sit in my seat. Don't they know I was here from the beginning and I paid for that seat? No, you didn't. The church did. Had somebody tell me, I said, hey, our family wants to pay for some chair, for the chair. No, because when you leave, you take them with you. We'll pay our own way. Somebody say amen. It'll be the church that pays for them. Say, well, we give to the church. Well, you just keep giving to the church. But don't you try to take my chairs. Remember them, remember 15:6? Yeah. They're pessimism. Indication. Listen to me. Is everybody all right? I hope I ain't preaching too long and y'all getting bored with this. I want you to hear this. When you start finding everything wrong instead of everything right, it's an indicator that you've gotten a hard heart. When nothing can satisfy you, when it's grass is green, but you're looking at it and saying it's a desert, then there's issues in here, not so much out here. When we come to church and it's all about what we don't like about church, then we've got a hard heart. And it's just a matter of time you can be back at the door anyhow. Unless you get the thing fixed. And a hard heart can affect us all. I told you, both hands raised right here, it's affected me. There's been times in ministry where I just want to say, where the heck with y'all? Because we allow things. Things seem to be against us. The devil will make sure we got a contrary wind. Somebody say amen. He'll make sure it seems like we're having to overwork to do a simple job. Amen. And it brings us to a place where we get frustrated with a hardened heart and then nothing's good enough. Preacher, man, there was 300 people in the building. Well, before COVID, we had 400. Preacher, my Sunday school class, we ain't got but 8 people. Before COVID, we had 20-something people in the class. Now we ain't got but 8 people coming back. Is everybody all right? Man, I told everybody to be here at this time, and nobody showed up on time. They were all, every single one of them was 10 minutes late. Everybody all right? Every single one of them was there, though. Amen. We can't see the good because everything's negative. And when we're like that, let me say, that's an indicator that you've got a hard heart. Amen. Maybe it's you this morning. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. All I'm going to ask you to do is be honest about it. If you don't want to get right with it, that's your business, but at least be honest about it and say, you know what, Lord, I do have a hard heart. Because every time I come to church, all I can do is find what's wrong with everybody else. Walking, oh, somebody better help me this morning. We might be a little longer, I'm sorry. Walk into the house and can't find nothing good but what your wife done for you that day. Walk into the house and nothing that your husband did is good enough for you that day. You got a hard heart. You done hardened your heart. And Jesus said that it was because of the hardness of the heart that they even divorced. I need somebody to hear me. I know what I'm talking about right here. People, we are having, when you get to this place, if you're not careful, you will run everybody off in your life. And then you'll sit there with the regret of, I shouldn't have done that. And you'll sit there with the shame of, I can't go back. And the whole time it's because you didn't recognize from the beginning that you had a hard heart. She comes in, she cooks for you. Bless her heart, she forgets the bread. You get burnt bread and she gets it out of the oven and all you can do is sit there and think about how much you would have wanted that bread instead of that doggone food that's sitting there on a plate in front of you. Amen. She fixes your coffee and she didn't do it just right, which if you got to have foo-foo stuff in your coffee, you ain't a man anyhow, but she didn't fix it just right and so you get, is everybody all right? Drink that stuff black or don't drink coffee, all right? Don't call it coffee if you ain't going to drink it black. Get upset. She didn't do it right. Didn't pick out my clothes right. Didn't wash my clothes right. Didn't fold my clothes right. Didn't iron my clothes right. He didn't take his boots off. I heard you. He didn't take his boots off before he come in the house. He didn't put the toilet seat down. Is everybody all right? He went in, oh, true, so now we, hey, time out, hey. We get pessimistic. When we get a hard heart, listen, I'm just going to go through a couple of these and we're done. Get the indicator. We get pessimistic, but we also lack compassion. See, we get pessimistic, but then we start lacking compassion. There's people that actually need church today. Are you hearing me? There's people that actually need it. Their life depends on it. Their spiritual life depends on it. And though you've graced us with your presence this morning, they had to be here. And they can't leave without something this morning to get them through this week. But you, all you're worried about is what the church ain't doing like you're wanting it to do. All you're worried about is what you can't get, what ain't been done. And they're sitting here grasping every word that comes out of the preacher's mouth. Every word that comes out of the singer's mouth. Every word that comes out of the Sunday school teacher's head. I gotta have it. But we just want church to be over. Preacher, you're gonna have to hurry up. My lineups for fantasy football are gonna be locked in about 40 minutes, preacher. You're gonna have to hurry up. I'm gonna have to get there. I know I got y'all. I know who I'm talking to. Preacher, we gotta hurry up, man. We gotta, our lineups are gonna be locked in about 38 minutes and 7 seconds. We got to do this, preacher. If we're not careful, listen to me, we'll get a hard heart, we lack compassion. We're not worried about what somebody else needs. I walk around here and I shook y'all's hands and some of you, man, y'all were smiling at me and hey, preacher, how you doing? And you telling me stories and telling me this, we missed you and everything else. But I want you to know something. As I walked around, some of them grabbed my hand in tears. Preacher, pray for me. Hugged my neck in tears. Preacher, pray for me. I'm struggling. You're not. Good to see you back, preacher. Looking forward to this sermon being over in 30 minutes so we can get to the house. Got some fried chicken. Is everybody all right? Hey, preacher, if you could, if you don't mind, you know, let the choir sing a lot longer than you preach. Hey, man. We have one of them services where the preacher don't. We'll let the big preacher preach. Somebody sitting in here, broken. Y'all hear me? Broken. Torn to pieces. You don't know who they are. You're looking around right now because you're more worried about trying to figure out who it is than worried about the condition of your heart. The fact that you don't have compassion for somebody that's walked into this church service and has to have something. They have to have this service. They got to have this service. But we lack compassion. And lastly, is everybody with me? Not lastly in the sermon. It's just lastly on this point, all right? We're talking about indicators, right? We're talking about indicators. Indicators are pessimism. Indicators are lack of compassion. But indicators were this. They're demanding of Christ. Do what? Oh yeah, remember that? Hey, send them away. What? Did you not read ahead? Did you not read a few verses up where Jesus, the Bible says he saw them and he had compassion for them? And we're saying, send them away. I don't care that they've traveled a long way. I don't care that they've sat here all day to get a word from God. Send them away. I got other things to do. I got other things that are a little more important. Than helping somebody else spiritually. Everybody all right? I'm going to skip a point, okay? Y'all ought to feel good about that, all right? The ingredients of a hardened heart, the indicators of a hardened heart, the instructions, I just give it to you, but I'm not going to, but he made him get on a boat, and there's a reason he made him get on a boat. He got him on the boat because he constrained them to do it. He isolated them out there in the water, and then he overwhelmed them. Everybody with me? But it led to the inspiration for the hardened heart. The inspiration for the hardened heart. I wrote down just a couple of things. I'm done. The only way to come from broken heart is through the inspiration. How we do that? Through his person. That hardened heart wouldn't have never changed if Jesus hadn't showed up on the water. I need somebody to help me. And let me help y'all with something else. Jesus would have walked right on by them. They had to want it. Somebody got to help me. The only way to get rid of a hardened heart, and they did get rid of a hardened heart. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that they went, when that boat hit the ground, they went running through the cities and brought people to him. They brought people to him. They went, they toiled all night long, and Jesus showed up, and they hit the ground running, bringing people to him. Not going out there, people coming to them. They literally went out, got people, and brought them to Jesus. How did that happen? Why did that happen? Because Jesus showed up. And here's the thing, don't miss this, don't miss it. The Bible said he would have walked on by. He ain't going to intrude in your life. If you don't want him there, he won't be there. He's not going to get on your boat if you don't want him on your boat. If you can live without him, he'll let you live without him. But the only way you're going to get over a hard heart is to get him in the boat. And let me tell you this, as a child of God, he sees you. Oh yes, as much as they were struggling, but don't miss this. From where he was praying for him, the Bible says he saw him. He saw him toiling in ruin. Read your Bible. He saw them. Hey, God ain't let you get so far away from him that he don't know exactly what you're at, exactly what you're doing. God knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows about them contrary winds, and he will come by. But if you allow it, walk on by. Bible says they hollered out and said, whoa! Hey! He ended up in the boat with him. Now Matthew tells us that Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come out on the water. Some people have said, hey, you know what? It's a lot safer with him than it is in this boat. I need somebody to help me. You talk bad about Simon Peter all you want to, but he was the only one that got out of the boat. Out of all the men that were sitting in that boat, Simon Peter was the only one that said, you know what? I'd rather be out there in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of contrary winds, with the winds boisterous, than to be in this boat. We're going to get rid of a hardened heart. We're going to have to get Jesus involved. Say that's elementary. Then why are so many of us fighting a hardened heart? If things are so simple for us, why are we all fighting a hardened heart? Why do we all fight bitterness? Why do we all fight these things? If it's so simple, everybody knew that, preacher. Then why are we, somebody got to help me. Why are we doing it? The only way you're going to get rid of a hardened heart is to get Jesus on that boat. Some of you this morning, y'all ain't had Jesus in your boat in a long time. Is everybody all right? Ain't had Jesus in your boat for a long time. They didn't have him, Brother Scott, they didn't have him but for a few hours. They didn't have him in the boat but for a few hours and things got ugly. Some of you wondering why in the world your life's all torn up, messed upside down and everything else. You ain't had him in the boat in a long time. Don't miss this. Is everybody with me? Go to the next verse. Is it in the next verse? I hate not being able to. It's tough being an old person. Verse 53. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And that ain't where I'm wanting to be. Where are we at? Verse 52. I skipped over it. I'm sorry. We started right here for their heart was hardened, but I want you to look at the first part of that verse. For they considered not the miracle
of the loaves. And just a few hours of things against them, they forgot about Jesus taking five loaves and two fishes and feeding 15 to 20,000 people. And just a matter of hours, because he wasn't in the boat with them. Some of you, you've forgotten what he's done for you.
That's right.
Some of you, it's not important, but I remember. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Some of you in here, your marriage was about to be done. And make sure everybody here. When you come to church, it was about over. Everything seemed to be falling apart. And God showed up. Your marriage was about over and God showed up. Your hope was gone and God showed up. There's been people that's walked in this church that's ready to kill themselves and God showed up. There's been people who walked in this church that didn't believe in God and God showed up. Is everybody with me? The only way you and I are going to get out of a hardened heart is to get Jesus in the boat. The inspiration that got them out of a hardened heart was his person and his performance. And this morning, there's not a one of us that can sit here and say God ain't done some great miracle in our lives. So, now that we're to the other side of the sermon, what are you going to do with it? You may have walked in saying send them away, but what are you going to do with it now? She's coming to the piano. Some of you need to get God in the boat. You know you need to get God in the boat. Heads are bowed with me. Nobody's looking at you. You come do business with the Lord. Because he's passing by this morning. But if you don't get serious about it, he'll walk right on by. Heads bowed, eyes closed. People are coming to the altar. You're coming to the altar. Maybe your heart's been hardened towards Jesus, period. There's so many religions out there. This person telling you to do this. This person telling you to do that. I don't know what to be, preacher. I don't know whether I'm supposed to be a Baptist. I don't know if I'm supposed to be a Methodist. I don't know if I'm supposed to be a Church of God. I don't know if I'm supposed to be a Catholic, a Latter-day Saint. Preacher, I don't know what I'm supposed to be. Everybody's coming at us with religion. Everybody's saying this is the way. This is the way. But yet my Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way. That's it. Not a denomination. Jesus, the Son of God, identified as the Son of God, the one who died for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his only begotten Son to die for us all. And his Son, who died for us all and was resurrected, was seen of above 500 people. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I don't care what any other religion says. I don't even care what the Baptists say. I'm going to stick with the Bible. I'm going to stick with the Son of God. And if he says he's the only way, then that is exactly what I'm going to tell you. He is the only way. So this morning, do you have him in your boat? If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, there's never been a time in your life that you have trusted in him and been saved. I want you to do me a favor right now. I want you to look right up at me. You ain't got to get up out of your seat. You ain't got to do anything. I just want you to be honest with me. Thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you.
You can put your head down. You can bow your head. I'm not going to embarrass you. Not going to send anybody to you. Is there anybody else? Wouldn't embarrass you. Preacher, I don't know. Never been a time. Miss Michelle. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm not sure. If you're up in the balcony and I can't see you, just wave at me. That's all I'm asking you to do. You ain't got to get up. Ain't got to come down. Just wave at me. Is anybody like that in the balcony? Preacher, I'm not sure. Never been a time. I had several that's looked up at me, said they're unsure whether or not they were saved. I want to tell you this. You just listen to me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want you to know this. I was at the same place. I mentioned earlier in the sermon, or earlier in the service today, September 28, 1997, I come into a church the same way that you are right now. September 28, 1997, my preacher preached, and while he was preaching, I was confronted with my sin. I knew while he was preaching that if I was to die at that moment, I would not go to heaven. I wanted to believe in my heart that I wouldn't go to hell, but the fact of the matter was I know just what kind of person I am. And I had to face the reality that if I was to die at that moment, I would spend an eternity in hell. The preacher gave an invitation and he said this. This morning, you do not have to leave the same way you come. He said this morning, somebody can take a Bible and show you from God's Word, not a denomination, not a statement of faith from the church, but from God's Word, how you could be saved and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. He even gave me a verse. He says, these things, the Bible says, I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. He said, you can know it. You can lay your head down on a pillow and know that if you were to die in your sleep, you'd wake up in the arms of Jesus. That morning, I got up out of my seat. I come down to the preacher. He got a man to take a Bible, and that told me how to be saved. My life didn't immediately change. I had some things that I need somebody to help me right here. I wasn't perfect by no means. Still ain't. But God began a work in me that He's promised to perform. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, this is the invitation that was given to me. Why don't you come and let me get a man or a woman to take a Bible and show you from God's Word how you can be saved. Is there anybody like that? I want you to get up out of your seat and come right here. I'll meet you halfway if you'll come. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I had a wonderful time in church service. Lord, I apologize if it seemed too long to some, but God, this morning, Lord, you're dealing with me. There have been times in my life and here lately, Lord, where I've got my heart to get hard. Lord, I pray this morning, I keep this sermon on my mind and recognize the indicators. Recognize when exhaustion is setting in. When my perception gets warped. God, recognize it. I'm heading in the wrong direction, and Lord, seek you.